It's spring, and aside from the allergies that come with this time of year and the dirt on your trucks and on your lawn furniture, one of the things we often do in springtime is we do what we call spring cleaning, right? Well, Jeannie wants me to do that. I'm not very good at it. I'm more kind of a spring, let's move it around and not have to really worry about cleaning it, but you know, we need to sometimes get in our garages, don't we, in our attics, and we have to kind of move things out because we got some other things we need to put in there, right? It's never that we just want to have nothing in there. It's that we've got more stuff now, and so I need to make some room. So let's get some stuff out. Let's have a garage sale so that we can go buy more stuff and stick it in those slots, right? I mean, that's how it works. I mean, whether you want to admit it or not, that's the truth of the matter. And, you know, it's a lot like our Christian walk. Because as we walk in the Christian life, we truly every day are kind of needing to do spring cleaning. We got to move some things out because there's some other things that need to come in. And you know, we might be talking about things in our lives that we need to get out as far as temptations or even places we go or people we hang around with that might need to go so that better things can be placed in our lives. But I think we need to also consider that the main one, the main item that we need to move out of our lives in order to make room for something else is self. A while ago, Terry read from Luke chapter 9. I'm sorry, that was Leslie that read. That's an elder, one of them. Leslie read just a few moments ago from Luke chapter 9 where Jesus said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily." See, it's not just something I do every now and then. It's not just something I do from time to time. I wake up every day. We have to wake up as children of God every single day and daily do this. Must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who shall save you. You see, when we take up that cross, we die. But the part of us that dies is self. But that's an ongoing death. It's a daily death. Every day we hopefully get better at that. We hopefully get better at putting self aside and putting Jesus Christ first. Because it's so easy for us to become enamored with ourselves, right? To where the most important person in my life is me. That's very easy. That happens very easily in our lives. We have to be so careful of it. I know this and I know that and I've done this and I've done that. And it becomes so much about the eyes that it almost becomes idolatry, doesn't it? I think about, it is a temptation for preachers when people tell you, you're doing a good job. I like it when people tell me one day I'll be a good preacher. I'm still hoping for that day to come. But it's very easy for anybody in a position where people might be very kind to you and tell you things and tell you, that you're doing a good job. It's very easy for them to let that go to your head. And I think there's one place that I point young preachers to and that I have looked there myself is John chapter 3. Jesus said of John the Baptist that of men born of woman, no one is greater. That's quite the praise, is it not, for a man from our Lord? When Jesus Christ says that this is the greatest man born of woman, and it was John the Baptist, that powerful preacher, everybody was coming out to see John. Now, most were coming out to hear his lessons, and to respond to them, there were a few like the Pharisees that just came out to harass and to try to figure out what his agenda was and if it matched up with them or if it would benefit them somehow. But John was very popular. But yet John, throughout all of his lessons, had a laser focus, did he not? That there was one coming. I am the forerunner. I'm just the voice in the wilderness. I'm proclaiming someone else. He's coming. I'm not worthy to tie his sandals, John chapter 1. And then he comes. Jesus comes and John sees him and he knows Jesus. He doesn't know that he's the Messiah. He doesn't know that he's the Christ. But he knows Jesus because he's kin to him. And Jesus is so good and so righteous that he doesn't have to know that he's the Christ. He doesn't have to know that he's the Messiah. He doesn't have to know those things because Jesus' life is very visible as a man of great righteousness. I always thought for years that John said, you know, you should baptize me because he knew who Christ was, but that's not how it is. He didn't know. But when the Spirit descended upon John or upon Jesus at his baptism, John then knew that was the sign he'd been waiting for. And he proclaimed, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." That brings us to John chapter 3. Shortly before, John would be placed into prison and would eventually die by being beheaded by Herod. But we see that his disciples come to him and they're a little put out with these things. They're a little put out that now Jesus is on the scene. And it says that there arose a discussion on the part of John's disciples with the Jew about purification. And they came to John and said, this is verse 26, "Rabbi, he who is with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him." See what's wrong? These disciples, hey, we're losing our prestige. We were the place to go. See, that's all self. That's all selfish. Why aren't they coming to us now? Now they're going to him. Would have been very easy for John to go, "Yeah, I'm kind of missing the crowds too. I like everybody coming to hear me preach." That's not what he says. He says, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. You yourselves are my witness that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease." And there it is. That's John's secret. That every day, Christ increased and he decreased. You and I, in our daily lives, must make room. We must constantly move self out so that there is room in our hearts and in our lives and in our schedules and in everything about us for Jesus Christ. That on a daily basis we pick up our cross, and as a result of our dying to self, he increases while we decrease daily. It's a lifelong process. It's a daily action. But oh, if we would do it, the servants of God we would become. The things that we could do for the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. May we do that. This evening, if you're not a child of God, you have the opportunity to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Lamb that came to be that sacrificial Lamb to die in your stead. We hope and pray that you'll make that decision. If you don't understand what you need to do to be saved, you don't know what the gospel is, then please ask one of us. For we would love to sit down with you and teach you what God has said in his word. If you're a child of God tonight, maybe self has dominated your life. Begin today to slowly and daily remove self from your life that Christ might increase, that there might be room in your life. We can busy ourselves right out of Christianity. We need to make room for the Lord to increase in our lives. And that means we need to decrease. May you do that every day. If we can assist you in any way this evening spiritually, if we can pray for you, we want to do that. If we can encourage you, won't you come as we stand and as we sing.